first, our next guests are trying to expand our understanding about what grief is and what we can do about it, what different kinds of things we can grieve over. We can grieve the loss of a loved one, of course, but we can also feel grief over non-death loss, the end of a relationship, the end of a marriage, infertility or a miscarriage, the loss of a version of someone you love due to mental illness, substance abuse. All examples, and perhaps you can relate to some. We want to hear what you think at 1-800-642-1234. How do you go about handling loss? Are you struggling with handling it? And are you able to recognize when you are grieving? Whether it's death or non-death related losses, what advice would you give to others? Join in the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us anytime, ideas@WPR.org. Our guests, Eleanor Haley and Litza Williams, are Baltimore-based mental health professionals and co-founders of the website What's Your Grief? Their new book is called What's Your Grief? List to help you through any loss. Eleanor and Litza, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having
Thank
us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and Eleanor, I'll begin with you. We talked with you on Central Time about 3 years ago now about your online community that you've built. And what made you want to write a book about grief as well?
Oh, gosh. Well, in that time, something pretty big happened where there was an awful lot of loss. And I think we all know what I'm talking about. COVID happened in that the past 3 years since we last spoke. And so up until around 2019, 2020, we had been, you know, writing in on our website, in our online community, doing lots of virtual stuff. And then around 2020, we were approached about writing a book, taking a lot of what we write about on our website and turning it into something that would be actually tangible in book form. And we had been approached over the years a couple of times and never really saw what we had to offer to the grief book space. There are so many different books out there. And so at that time when we were approached in 2020, I think we saw one gap in the grief book literature, and that was a book that would validate and normalize the wide range of grief experiences there are out there. At the time, people were, of course, experiencing countless, unfortunately, death losses, but also a lot of non-death loss, loss of job, loss of relationships, and the list goes on. And so we really said, you know what, I think now's the time. We've always recognized that non-death losses is a really big and important experience that needs to be grieved. And I think the world might be ready to acknowledge that as well. And so that's why we decided to take the step we did.
Yes. What's Your Grief? List to help you through any loss. And Litza Williams, why were lists a good framework to work from?
I think it's really interesting. We spend a lot of time talking about how complex grief is and how it's so much more nuanced than many people believe. And then to say we've written a book that's in the format of lists, I think is surprising to people. But one of the things that we know is that because grief is so overwhelming, it touches so many areas of our lives, so many people process it differently. Taking it step by step, one thing at a time, can really be an effective approach to trying to understand our own grief, to try to understand others' grief, and to find ways to cope with and manage the losses that we're facing in life. And so over the years, we had heard people come to our website who said, I picked up grief books and they were so dense, they were so overwhelming, it was too much, I couldn't concentrate. What I loved about your website was that you had these manageable, approachable articles that were sometimes in list form that really helped me to be able to find something digestible. And these aren't just like bullet pointed lists. They obviously are a little more complex than that. But we do think that this format for people who are feeling so overwhelmed and so overcome by the emotions of grief really does lend itself well to helping them apply and connect to their own lives.
And Eleanor, why do you think we have such a problem understanding our own grief?
Well, I think there's a lot of answers to that question. But one of the main things is that we grow up with a lot of beliefs and assumptions around what it means to experience loss and what grief looks like. And unfortunately, what we enter into grief assuming things will look like often does not match the experience. There's a lot of myths and misconceptions out there about grief. the number one that we always hear about is that idea that grief will be uniform. It will follow a set of stages. It will be linear, and it will have some sort of end point where we're expected to put everything behind us. And that's just not how grief works. So I think one of the things that makes grief so difficult is just it's very much an unexpected experience and overwhelming in ways we never anticipate. It's not just about feeling painful emotion. Grief impacts every single domain of our life, logistical, spiritual, worldview, relationships. It impacts everything. And people aren't always ready or expecting that experience.
Or are they even aware of their own grief?
Well, I think I would.
I think that the.
I'm sorry, Litsa was starting there. And Litsa, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, to add to what Eleanor said, I think that oftentimes they aren't aware of their own grief, or they aren't labeling what they're experiencing as grief because they think grief only follows a death. You know, in those expectations Eleanor was just describing, I think one of the most fundamental expectations people have is just grief is something that happens after a loved one dies, and we expect that we will feel it then for sort of a finite period of time. And I think people are often really surprised to experience these other things in life where they have tremendous loss. And even though they feel it as a loss, they might not necessarily recognize that they're grieving that loss, and that it's appropriate and important to be able to label it as grief and understand that that is what we're going through.
That's Litsa Williams also joining us. Eleanor Haley, they are mental health professionals and co-founders of the online support group What's Your Grief, and authors of the new book What's Your Grief? List to help you through any loss. And if you have any suggestions or questions, you can join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234, where Bill in Milwaukee standing by. Bill, you're on Central Time.
Hello, glad to talk with you. You know, I think that when we're in grief, and I agree with you, grief is not just for death. But whenever I've had to face it with my friends or with my own self, it seems that the simplest things are the best. I was watching The Hobbit just today, and Bilbo said, "When there's nothing around you but death, there's nothing to do but go on living. You know, what else can you do?"
Hmm. But that almost sounds like denial or rejection of grief, or just plowing ahead and ignoring your own feelings. You might want to stop and think about that for a second. And I'd be interested in your reaction, Eleanor.
Well, I think what that kind of resonates with in my mind is that sense of a little bit of a sense of maybe shock and numbness and uncertainty about where to even begin. And as the caller said, sometimes the simplest things are where we really have to start. And people often think that in grief, they have to have these really big coping tools and these really big deep dives into their emotion. And what we actually find is that grief is often about just taking things one little step at a time, day by day, and acknowledging that it's going to be a couple of steps forward and a couple of steps back. And that is what the grief journey, so to speak, looks like.
Litsa Williams, I would ask you, one of the quotes from your book, Viktor Frankl, an abnormal reaction to an abnormal situation is just normal behavior. How do you recognize grief? How do you see it, find it, identify it?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we try to encourage people to remember is that grief is our normal and natural response to loss. And when we look for that in ourselves, it can come out in so many different ways. It can come out in just thinking about how our identity is changing, thinking about after losses that have occurred in our lives, we may start to recognize, wow, I see the world differently. I used to believe that if, bad things only happen to bad people, or that if I sort of did the right thing, that the right thing would always happen. You know, I might see some shifts in my worldview. I might feel a loss of my self-confidence because someone in my life who was my cheerleader is not a part of my life anymore. And so it might be in these identity changes and role changes that we have. It might be in experiences where we just realize it feels a little bit more like anxiety because something has happened to us where we know the worst can happen now. We've lost a loved one. We've had, a devastating event happen, and suddenly we approach the world as feeling more uncertain than it was before. And we know that bad things can happen. So there's the things that people, I think, expect, feeling sadness, feeling, you know, those emotions. But sometimes it's looking for these other things that are important. It's sometimes knowing that when we feel numb, that can be grief too. Sometimes people will say, I'm not grieving. I feel numb. I haven't cried. What's wrong with me? And sometimes that is our brain's way of coping and sort of giving us the distance that we need from the emotions in order to function day to day. And that is part of our grief, is that numbness. And that with time, we might need to look for safe, comfortable spaces where we can, either with a counselor or with friends or family members, acknowledge the loss and talk about it and maybe start to let those emotions in a little bit. So there's no one way to recognize it, but I think looking for any different angle at which we might be responding to a loss that has happened in our life.
It reminds me of another quote. And Bill, you brought up The Hobbit. I'll bring up Mr. Fred Rogers. And this quote is directly from our guest book, What's Your Grief? List to Help You Through Any Loss. And Mr. Rogers said, there is no should or should not when it comes to having feelings. They're part of who we are beyond our control. When we believe that we may find it easier to make constructive choices about what to do with those feelings. Yeah. And that's where we stand this afternoon with Eleanor Haley and Litza Williams, our guest, Baltimore-based mental health professionals and co-founders of the website What's Your Grief? New book, What's Your Grief? List to help you through any loss. Why lists? Part of the coping mechanisms. And you can join the conversation as we look at signs of progress and coping at 1-800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guests about grief and coping with it? Our conversation continues next on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, in for Rob Ferret, and we're picking up our conversation with Eleanor Haley and Litza Williams, a pair of Baltimore-based mental health professionals, co-founders of the online support group What's Your Grief, talking about their new book, What's Your Grief? List to Help You Through Any Loss. And you can join us at any time at 1-800-642-1234 or email us ideas@wpr.org. And we've been talking about loss, both in terms of death and non-death related. And as you write in your book, that sometimes coping with non-death related loss, grieving can be more difficult than death related loss. Eleanor, why is that?
I think it's just difficult in many similar ways, but in many very different ways. And oftentimes, I think Litza already mentioned the fact that people don't always recognize that they're even grieving a loss. And if you yourself aren't recognizing that you're grieving a loss, it stands to reason that the people around you won't always recognize, validate, support, or give you the time and space that you need to grieve that loss. So many times people feel that their non-death losses are disenfranchised. They're not acknowledged. They're not supported. So they often end up grieving them alone and many times wondering, what's wrong with me that I'm struggling so much with this? I think another thing that can make non-death loss hard, especially when it's grieving a person who is still alive, such as maybe somebody who has a severe traumatic brain injury, dementia, perhaps somebody who's ran away, is just that you're doing two things at once. You're grieving the change in the relationship, you're grieving the loss, but at the same time, you're dealing with the ongoing stress and you're holding on to that hope that things will get better. Maybe they'll come back to you. So there are just a lot of different dynamics that go into grieving a non-death loss that people don't always consider and people don't always offer or receive support for.
Litza Williams, there is a quote from your book that has stuck with me as perhaps one of the most challenging things for those who are trying to cope with their grief. Sometimes you have to help people help you. How do you do that?
Oh, yeah. This is really can be a frustrating thing for people who are grieving. You realize people are saying the wrong thing, they're doing the wrong thing, and it can feel so frustrating because you just want that support. But sometimes people's instincts are wrong. People's instincts are they want to take away our pain. And so they start saying things like, oh, well, you know, at least you can have other children, or at least you're still young, you'll meet someone else. You know, they say these really hurtful things, or they say general, sort of vague things about how things will get better. And sometimes we have to do a little bit of educating people. And that can be hard when we're grieving, but it's a reality that people don't know what we need if we don't tell them what we need. So sometimes we have to spend a little time with that, and we have to think, wow, if I'm frustrated by my support system, if I feel like they've abandoned me or they're always getting it wrong, what feedback could I get them, give them to help them maybe understand my grief a little bit better and understand what I personally need? So being able to say to someone, hey, I know you were just trying to cheer me up when you said that, or find a silver lining, but right now what I need is for you to just kind of be present with me and to understand that nothing is going to make this feel better right now. I just need you to kind of hear me or listen to me or be a shoulder for me to cry on. Or maybe to say, you know, I really need practical support right now. I'm really, really struggling with getting the lawn mowed and my taxes done this year and things my partner used to help me with. So that's the kind of stuff that I really need from you. I don't need you to keep, you know, bringing casseroles over or whatever it might be. So to give people a little bit of that feedback and guidance so that we can get, you know, what we need from other people, and so that they can feel good that they're supporting us in the ways that we need.
And when people come to you with the best of intentions and you are able to redirect them, I don't know anybody that wouldn't be willing to redirect themselves as long as they're coming to you true, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think people want to be able to help us in our grief. They just often don't know how to do it. And it's hard to watch someone struggle and suffer. So we sometimes fumble through. Like, none of us got a handbook on how to grieve, and none of us got a handbook on how to support someone grieving. So we have to be able to kind of communicate through it.
I am vigorously and quietly nodding. Let's go back to your calls now at 1-800-642-1234, where Jeff in Superior is standing by. Jeff, you're on the air with Eleanor Haley and Litsa Williams.
Wow, this is great. Thank you for this opportunity. I formed an opinion in my older years that there's different kinds of grief. So, for example, I can grieve for a person that I've known, a family member, things like that. Then that grief might be triggered by a memory or something. So, in other words, I don't know I'm feeling grief yet. But I've also found that as an American, as a community, I still feel like I'm grieving John F. Kennedy's assassination or Martin Luther King not being part of our country. So is it true that there's like personal grief and then collective grief?
Oh, wow. I feel as though you have read the book, Jeff. Eleanor?
Yes, absolutely. We can grieve for anything that we have an attachment to. And so it might be an ideal, it might be a worldview, and it might be a public figure. So absolutely. And we actually, interestingly, we have one article on our website that's, I can't remember the exact title, but titled something like, Is it wrong to grieve a celebrity death? And I cannot tell you how much traffic we have to that article and how many comments we have, because people are having that experience, but it's often, again, an experience that gets invalidated. So you are absolutely right. There are definitely different things that will cause us grief, whether it is somebody who is very close to us or somebody we're a little more distant from. And we're often surprised by the losses that really cause us a lot of struggle. And I just think it's important for people to understand that grief is, it's on a spectrum where there are big losses that turn our lives upside down, that shatter almost everything, it seems. And then there are smaller losses that are hard, but that we have support and ways to cope with and integrate more easily. So it's totally normal to experience loss and grief over these wide range of things.
Eleanor Haley and Litsa Williams run the online support group What's Your Grief, and the authors of the new book What's Your Grief, List to Help You Through Any Loss. Back to you now, Lauren in Algoma. You're on Central Time.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I just want to thank both the speakers for talking about non-death related grief. I think the biggest grief that I've suffered is a divorce. And it's so taboo to talk about how that's a grieving process. And my best friend recently went through one, and she felt the same way. I mean, you grieve the loss of your past because that person has changed. You grieve the loss of the person because you can no longer be with them. And you grieve the loss of your future, too, everything that you thought you'd had. And I've had a much harder time processing that than I have, you know, the death of a grandparent, for example, where they're not there anymore. They passed peacefully, things like that.
Yeah, Lauren, I thank you so much for sharing your story. And how important is that best friend to you? And where do you think your coping process would be without her? No, I think I lost you. Litsa, what's your thought about Lauren's story about going through a divorce and finding this to be a challenge, but having that best friend there who's going through the same thing?
Yeah, I think we cannot say enough about how especially these losses that feel disenfranchised, that feel like people don't validate them or understand them, when we can find someone to connect with who has that same experience and who is willing to talk about it and acknowledge it, that can be so incredibly helpful. It's one of the reasons that especially for losses that are a little more invalidated, that support groups can be so helpful. If you're not lucky enough to have that friend who gets it, a support group can sometimes fill that space. And we do know that oftentimes with grief, you know, I completely understand as somebody who has gone through lost, you know, a lot of people really close to me in my life, I understand that there's this instinct to kind of protect the word grief for death-related losses. Because when you've been through that, people want to say, oh, no, divorce, you know, it's not right to call divorce because death is worse, death is harder. You know, they're all different, like Eleanor said, and they're all on a spectrum. And sometimes when we feel like we can't use the word grief for divorce, we then aren't able to connect with people over that shared experience of feeling those exact losses that the caller described, the life we thought we would have together, these shared memories, our sense of self, you know, who am I now if I'm not a wife anymore, if I'm not a partner in this same way? Does this undo the past that we had together? You know, there's so many things to cope with, and it really does become helpful when we can label it for what it is and find other people to help support us through it.
Litsa and Eleanor, thank you so much for joining us today. Litsa Williams and Eleanor Haley are Baltimore-based mental health professionals and co-founders of the website What's Your Grief. We talked with them about their new book, What's Your Grief? Lists to help you through any loss.